To 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's on page 1377 in your pews. Pew Bible. And let's begin with verse 4, please. Now, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God that works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful day that we have, that we can just enjoy your blessing of sunshine. And thank you for the breeze that some of us are experiencing. Father, thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for the gift of friendship and fellowship and life. You're a very generous God, and you obviously enjoy giving. And Father, today as we come to this chapter, and as we focus on some of your gifts and what that means for us, I pray, Lord, that we would draw the right conclusions of the kind of people that you have called us to be. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to be focusing primarily on verse 7. Now, some people from 19th will say, hey, I think you've already done this one. And I needed to do that. And so bear with me, some of you from 19th. I have changed some of the things around, but I think it's important for now that we are a one community that we be able to be thinking on the same themes and I hope be able to apply these things to our new congregation. But let me just emphasize this point, that if the Spirit of God had his way in our community, every Christian would be using their God-given gifts for the common good. Let me say it again. If the Spirit of God had his way in our community, every Christian would be using their God-given gifts for the common good. Now, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, and I don't want to downplay or minimize the creation gifts and talents. There are gifts, there are talents that come, I believe, when we're born, God has given them to us, and we discover those as time goes along. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And part of that wonderfulness is the giftings that God has given to each of us. And I think it's good. I think it's right. I enjoy it when I see people actually acknowledge that their abilities, their gifts, their talents come from God. Now, if any of you have been watching the World Cup games, very often when somebody scores a goal, they always point up to God. And some soccer players are very open about their faith, and that every time that there's some victory, they want to give God the glory. They don't want to take it all to themselves. As everybody is applauding them and loving them, they're pointing up and saying, you know, give the praise to God. I enjoy watching that, and some of them are clearly, believers, other people. I'm not exactly sure what their faith is, but it's quite common for people to do that. They recognize that it's not just about themselves. Sometimes when you watch the music awards, people come up, or it could be movies sometimes, and people come up and say, first of all, I want to thank God for this. Again, I was just, wow, that's awesome that they want to start that way. Even in a completely secular audience, they still want to thank God for that. Again, a quote that I've quoted many times from Chariots of Fire, when the runner says, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Again, there's an individual, even an athlete running, he says, I feel his pleasure, and it was God who made me this way. I want to give him the glory. And also, I heard Bill Cosby once say this, that he said, God made me funny. And he said he finds fulfillment when people are actually laughing. Even the gift of laughter, he gives acknowledgement to God. When I was reading Anne Frank's diary, she wrote, I am grateful to God for giving me this gift, this possibility of developing myself and of writing and of expressing all that is within me. So there you have individuals with a gift of writing. And they say, I acknowledge that even this has come from God. And I forget the name of the boxer who said, yeah, God gave me the gift to beat people up. But what these people acknowledge is, look, this isn't just luck. It's not just nature. God has done something in my life, and I think it would be wrong for me to take the glory here when I know he's the one who gave it to me. So these are creation gifts. Now, in this chapter, and in this verse that we're looking at, verse 7, these are not creation gifts, they're salvation gifts. They're gifts that are given to people who become believers, and God not only gives people the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of relationship, he's saying he also gives to each Christian a spiritual gift. And we also, if everybody out there in the secular world is thanking God for their gifts, how much more should we in the church be thanking God and acknowledging that whatever gifts we have are a gift from the Lord? And again, that verse, what have you that you have not received? I really believe that if we understand that God is the author of our gifts and our talents, that it will produce something in our character and in our personality, namely humility. We will recognize that what we have comes from the sovereign God who gave it to us. So if there's any spiritually gifted person, all right, who, let's say they're a teacher, And they know how to communicate well, and then they meet somebody who really can't communicate very well, and they despise them, you just say, something's wrong with you, brother. Because the gift that you have to communicate is from the Lord. Had he not given you that gift, you would have been in that person's place, and he would have been in yours. Have some humility. If you're good at organizing events and you meet somebody who's just terrible at organizing, remember that it's a gift from God. Have mercy on us, on those of us who can't organize anything properly. Again, whatever it is, whatever gift that you may have, this will make a huge difference if you realize that it was the sovereign God who gave you the gift and the talent. Be humble about it. Don't despise, don't abuse people. We are what we are by the grace of God, by the sovereign grace of God. So I really think that if we capture this, it will keep us from being a proud people. Now, secondly, why has God given you or me a spiritual gift? Now, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about this. Why did he give you that gift? So that you could be put in on a pedestal and people worship you and you forget about God. Why did he give you a gift? Why? And it says it very clearly here that God gave you a spiritual gift to be used for the common good. The reason God gives people gifts is so that they can be a blessing to other people. That is the primary reason. In 1 Peter 4:9, you have the same theme. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. Wow. So when Paul and Peter, they speak to the members of the body, the focus is never on having your needs met. Whenever the topic of gifts is brought up, it's not about your needs being met. It's always about the needs of others being met. Or it's always about giving glory to God. He has equipped you with a gift so that other people will be blessed. Now, Paul knows that you and I are very needy. He knows that, you know, there's a lot of things always going on in our life that we could use some help. But when the topic of gift comes up, he wants us to be very clear on this in terms of our understanding. I gave you a gift so that you will be a blessing to other people in the congregation, in the church. It is more for them than it is for you. And so, again, think about this, that if that's the case, then this theme of gifts, spiritual gifts, teaches us that we are not to be proud, and then it teaches us that we are not to be self-centered. We are to be other people-centered. We are to give the glory to God. So the seed of God's gift is to be planted in the soil of our hearts. And the proper soil there is a soil of humility and the soil of loving other people. And when those are in the heart and God plants the gifts there, then it will function properly within the community of faith. But if there's pride there, if there's self-centeredness and arrogance there, then those gifts are going to be abused. They're not going to be able to manifest the work of the Spirit as the Spirit intends that to come out. Now, I would say that this approach of not focusing on, you know, again, Paul is saying, ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That is the primary thrust here. I really believe that this should be an attitude that should prevail over all of our lives in every area. If God has blessed you with something, say to yourself, it's because he also wants me to be a blessing to other people. Whatever it is that he has blessed you in, whatever it is. You know, one of the great things about having a house, I feel, is to be able to do, you know, to have people over, to do hospitality, to bless other people, to let them sleep over, to whatever it is. What a blessing. If you have a vehicle, what a blessing to be able to pick people up and drive them around. I have been blessed with a vehicle to help other people. If you've got money, I have this money to bless other people. Like, if you look at your life through those lenses, that everything I have, every connections I have some connections. Let me see if I can get you a job. Anything I have is to be a blessing to other people. You will capture why God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to other people. And again, this should lead us to living lives that are God-honoring and selfless and Spirit-led. Now, notice as well how in our discussion of gifts, as I said, that it's really what's important is that when God, you know, gives us these gifts, that we need to pay attention to the soil and to the heart. And I would say more important than just you know, asking what's your spiritual gift and, you know, what do you really like to do? What's your passion? This, that, and the other. I in some ways, am more concerned about Do you care about people? Do you love people? Do you love the Lord? Because if I'm just going to look for your gifts and it's all about you and it's not about other people and it's not about glorifying God, it's going to hurt the church and it's not going to be of any value to you. And the most important part of what Paul is teaching us here as well is that focus on this desire to have your heart in a place where God is working in you, and you say, I when I see people in need, I want to bless them. I want to help them. When I see things going on in the church and I know that I can make a difference, I want to do it for the good of the church. Now, if God has brought you to that place and that's on your mind and on your heart, then your gifts are just going to shine. But if that's not on your heart, then probably what's going to happen is, okay, you don't see my gift, then I'm leaving. It's all about me. I'm hurt. Work so that, allow the Spirit of God to cause you to be really concerned for other people, and you will see he will guide you and lead you into the place that he wants you to serve. Very important. Now, one of the sure proofs that God wants people, God wants Christians in a community of faith, is the fact that he has given you a spiritual gift. Have you ever thought about that? It is proof positive that God wants you to be part of a community of faith, because he says, to each of you, I gave you a gift for the common good. So again, if we walk away from the body of Christ and become, as many claim, Lone Ranger Christians, they will be forced to neglect the gift that God gave them, which was primarily for the good of others and not for themselves. And so this really, you know, by simply departing, we're robbing God of his glory, and we're, again, robbing the people of God and the gift that God gave the believers so that he would be a blessing in the life of the community. Gifts are given so that we can become a part of the body of Christ. So really important. With the gift comes this sense of concern for others, but also a sense of responsibilities that we have. God gave me a gift. Now I need to be a good steward of that gift. Now, I also believe that the gifts that God has given us are clues of what God wants you and me to do within the body of Christ. If you have a special gift from God, there is a special ministry for you. There is something specific that God wants you to do. And that ministry, in some shape or form, is going to become a blessing to other people. Now, many years ago, I was almost thinking of doing this this morning, but I decided against it. Many years ago, the worship team was just finishing worship, and I came up and I said, before you guys leave, they had sung a song, and then I told each individual, and I said, okay, you who, you know, you play guitar, I want you to go on the piano. You who play bass, I want you to go on the drums. You who play the piano, you can go play some flute, and so on and so forth. I mixed everybody, and I made sure that I knew exactly where they were supposed to go to make my point. And so I said, okay, you just finished a song. We all loved it. It sounded great. Okay, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to do it again. One, two, three. It was like unbelievable how bad it was. Now, it's difficult to do that with some of our folk because they can play a lot of different instruments. I realize that, but I thought about this before. So the point of that was to show people that if God has given you a gift and you've got a particular talent, but you're in the wrong place, there's not going to be that harmony. There's not going to be that music that you know, people are not going to be in tune, in line. It's all going to be off. And so it's very important that within the body of Christ, that you not have this idea, it doesn't matter where people go. They can go anywhere. Now, I do believe that we need to start with a good heart. We want people to care for other people. But at the same time, we need to accept the teaching of Scripture that says that God has given to people specific gifts that are to be used in a certain way in order to bless the congregation. But, you know, if I had done that this morning, you would see how radically different it is when you have gifted people in the wrong place, and how beautiful it is when you have the gifted people serving in the right place with the right heart. And that really has to be our goal. Again, I've raised this analogy many times about the American Idol show. But again, it just kills me when I see young people, you know, trying to sing when they can't, and then at the end of it, you know, when the judges say, "Sweetheart, this is," and that's putting it really nicely if they put it that way, but you know, really, you can't do this, and they break down. But this is my life. This is the meaning of my existence. Like, I've been waiting for this all my, you know, and it's just a sad story to hear all these young people saying that it's either this or suicide. I don't know why it is that young people have this idea that unless you have the gift of music and singing and acting and arts, that there's nothing left. But there is something left, and people need to be told, and young people need to be told, you've got gifts as well, but they may be in a different area, and we need to help you find that. Because if you just keep on going the way you're going, you're not entertaining people, you're persecuting them. It's hurting. It's hard for people to hear that. But God did not give you that gift, and we need to leave it at that. Now, in terms of what exactly can we do if it's not just about singing? And, you know, Jesus had, he had all the gifts, it seems, in activity in his life. I mean, Jesus was a prophet. He had the gift of teaching. He had the gift of communicating. And he did it really well. I mean, everybody who heard him was in awe. His teaching was anointed. And I would say as well that God has equipped certain people with the gift of speech. And now it's not just preaching. It could be prophecy. It could be encouraging other people. There's a lot of different ministries where you use your tongue to really encourage other people and challenge other people and help them grow in the faith. There are others as well that God, I believe, has given them a really good mind. And we got a chance, some of us, to go hear John Lennox yesterday, and he's got a great mind, a great ability to discern truth from falsehood and communicate it to people. And you see, I had a friend growing up, and he was a really, really bright guy. And what he loved to do was study science. And he was really good at it. But he made one mistake. He started going to the wrong church. Is that possible? Anyways, because later on when I met him, he said he was thinking of giving up his career in science. And as we talked together, I found out that the church that he was attending always put reason and the mind down. What was good was emotions, was trusting God, was not using your head. That they exalted. But whenever it came to using your mind and discovering knowledge and having good arguments and things like that, they had absolutely no place for that in their church. And so he was thinking about leaving. And I had to just encourage him to not neglect the abilities and the gifts that God had given to him. And I want to say that to people. If God has given you a good mind, then use it to his glory. I really hope that you will be welcomed in this place. if you love apologetics, you love evangelism, you love thinking things through, you want to get to the bottom of things, and you love finding out truth and being able to communicate it, just welcome to the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. Now, I've also met plenty of people that would say, "Boy, that really is not my area at all. I don't like reading. I don't really like thinking, and maybe that's good for other people. I'm not that kind of logical person," and so on and so forth. But they have had such big hearts of compassion for people in need that they cannot sleep when they're thinking about people who are struggling and people who who might need some food or and Jesus was that kind of a person, a great heart of compassion. He cared about people. And again, I would say, if you're that kind of person and that's what moves you, then you'll become a great counselor in this place. I mean, you'll become a great friend to people. You'll minister to people through your good deeds, not necessarily your good words. And I hope that we as a congregation will always be able to say to people, "Brothers and sisters, you're welcome here. We want your gifts here. There is room for your gifts to be exercised in this place." Now, again, somebody else might say, I don't have that gift, and I don't have the gift of thinking and knowledge and communicating, so where do I fit in?" And again, there's some people that just really have a great ability to take what's chaotic and turn it into order. They have a way that of working in a congregation so that everything works more efficiently, smoothly, so that everybody else in the congregation is not aware of any obstacles and they can enjoy fellowship and they can enjoy worship. And those kind of gifts are so important. And Jesus had kingly gifts. He had kingly gifts. Order. Working things out. Organization. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, if those are your gifts, I want you to feel welcome here. I want you to be able to find a place here where you can use your gifts and serve. And again, somebody else might feel, "Okay, you know what? I don't fit in any of those." And again, some people, I would have to say, their passion is not so much goodness and order and truth, but their passion is beauty. They're artists. They love making music. They love turning a place in, this place needs color, this place needs life. And it stands out to me, oh, how I wish that I could do something about it. Jesus was the creator. He's an artist. Jesus had all these gifts. And I want to say to brothers and sisters in this place that you're welcome to use your gifts here as well. And again, I don't think that I can go through the whole list. Somebody might always say, "I still haven't heard where I belong." I don't think that I can exhaust that list, but I assure you, whatever gift and talent God gave you, you do belong. And I hope that together we might be able to find exactly where you fit in the life of the body. Now, just my last point here. How do we discover these gifts? Now, as I said earlier, I really want to encourage you that, first of all, get connected with the body of Christ, be a part of the body, and wake up and say, "God, I really want to be a blessing to your people," and begin to just discern, what is God doing in my heart? What am I seeing? What hurts me? What's my passion? What do I see that I feel drawn to? Who do I see that I feel drawn to? Who can I help in this place? And go to them, and if you're able to minister to them, and they eventually come back and say to you, my faith was encouraged. I found my strength again to be able to face the difficulties in my life." That is saying something about what God is doing through you. Pay attention to that. I would also say, pay attention to what your, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ are saying, and the leaders. And here's a warning. There are people who have the gift of being nice, and they will come to you and say, you know, no matter how bad you may do something, they will always say you did a great job. They got the gift of encouragement. They're lovely to have, and we need them, but be careful, because, you know, when I think about those individuals that were on American Idol, I'm sure that they must have had some friends who must have said to them, yeah, you're really good. Oh, jeez. Yeah. What's that proverb? The kisses of an enemy? No. That's right, yeah. I didn't even hear it, but yeah, I'll just go with it. The wounds from a friend are to be preferred to the kisses of an enemy. Was that what you said, Colleen? Okay. Yeah, so we need people who really do love you, who can come along and say, I know you're gifted because the Bible says so. All right, so make sure that nobody thinks they're humble and says, I don't have any gifts, because that is saying something contrary to what the Bible says. God did not forget you when he saved you or when he made you. You do have some gifts. And there are people who really want the best for you. And sometimes, friends, we have to be open to allowing people to say some things that maybe, you know, it's like, okay, so that's not it. Just don't take yourself too seriously, because there may be something else that God has for you. And the other thing that I would say is just remember as well that sometimes gifts do take time to come to the surface. I don't know how many times I've heard teachers say about students, they have so much potential, but they never go anywhere. You have to develop these gifts. You have to work on these gifts. And even our spiritual gifts, the same thing is true. We need to work. We need to develop them. We need to be committed. And once we know that we have them, just say, God, I want to be the best encourager in this place that there can be. I want to be the best sound man that I can be. I want to be the best musician. I want to do it all for the good of people and for the glory of God. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about you. And again, I think that the leadership does have some responsibility here, that if somebody does have these gifts, we need to find ways to help people find their ministry and their place in the body of Christ. And sometimes that also takes time. Sometimes we as leadership just have to remove the obstacles from people's lives so that they can begin to serve. But again, let me end on this note. I'm always very cautious when I'm talking about gifts, that people think gifts are more important than godliness. Friends, always, always prioritize your relationship with Jesus Christ before thinking about gifts. It's more important that you are a godly person who is seeking to please him than to simply improve your gift of whatever it may be. But at the same time, as you grow in godliness, then God can truly manifest the Spirit of God through the giftings that he's given to each one of us. During the retreat, I hope that many of you will come. I'm looking forward to just talking about what God has laid on my heart about, you know, how we can move forward as a congregation. But I also really want to hear your heart. I want to get to know people. I want to be able to, you know, perhaps discern with you in terms of where you might serve in this place. If the Spirit had his way in our community, every Christian would be using their God-given gifts for the common good. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your generosity, your blessing to all of us. You could do it all by yourself. You could teach, you could heal, you could organize, you could paint and create. But Lord, it was your chosen method to include your people so that we can be part of the kingdom work, be part of growing the church, be part of changing the world. And you want us to experience your power, your grace, and your joy, so that when we serve and see other people blessed, that it gives our hearts joy as well. Father, I pray that we will learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Let's have the worship team come and let's stand together.